It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios. Welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
People who haven't been in the federal government, who haven't worked in the White House, may not appreciate this. But the situation is you have a group of unelected bureaucrats who think that they need to take down this president. I'll attend interagency meetings, Chris, where I know for a certain fact, if I don't invite the right people, the meeting will leak. If I don't say the right thing, they'll go to the Hill. If we propose a policy idea that they don't approve of, they'll work with Democrat appropriators to try to block it. They leak this president's phone calls. They publish hit pieces. They publish fake stories. They've been doing this continuously for nearly 3 years, and their motives and their agenda is clear. This is about, do you want a democracy in this country, or do you want a deep state?
As Stephen Miller, advisor to the President of the United States, with Chris Wallace on Fox News. If you didn't see that exchange, well, it's worth watching. Chris was his usual snarly self, and Stephen was his usual strong self, defending. And it's not just defending the president. Heaven knows he needs defending. And we're praying for him. I'm praying for him, I'll tell you. I just don't know how one man can stand all of this. And I also know that that one man, for all of his faults, is standing between us and something really horrible. And yet the other side, if you listen to them, I just was listening to what Robert De Niro, who hates President Trump. And his description was that President Trump, you know, is wicked and evil, and we have to get rid of him or we can't, the Republic cannot survive. So those are two polar opposite views. And I have to say, one of them is wrong. It's like I think of President Lincoln's second inaugural when he describes the forces of the South who wanted to maintain the slavery of other men enslaving other men, as opposed to the North that wanted to free all men to be free. And he basically says there can't be two opinions here. They both pray to the same God, but surely God cannot be on the side of people who want to enslave other people. And that reminds me very much of this. Both can't be true. The president can't be an absolute fool, buffoon, out of control, obstruction of justice, ignoring the law, creating chaos in our world and in our country, and also then I'll be a champion who is passing effective foreign policy and trade deals and good moral issues, defunding Planned Parenthood and advancing the cause of life. He can't be both of those people. And so I have to tell you without equivocation, knowing what I know and who I know and having been in proximity, I believe that this president is really under assault. And I believe it really is Satan, who's the father of all lies. Yeah, I know that people that aren't Christians think that's funny, but I don't care. Because what we are seeing is just the explosion of lying. It's just incredible. It blows your ears back. You think, you know, didn't you get in trouble for lying when you were a kid? Wasn't that sort of the thing you weren't supposed to do? And yet we are seeing an assault on our senses and our sense of what's right and wrong. And some people seem to be fine with that, or they have a different view. I was talking to a young man who I'm going to interview this week. Amazing conversation. He was a leftist, deeply involved with, I'm not even going to give you too many details until I talk to him. Let's just say a very large entity that's doing some really bad things to this country and internationally. And he is now himself a whistleblower, and he is himself really, truly in danger. And he said to me, you know, I was steeped on leftist thought. This is what I thought. I agreed with everything that was happening. And he said, I have now read 1984 three times. And everything in my world is just shifting. And my point is that many, many people, some are just very poorly informed. Others are persuadable. And I think many people just don't know what they don't know. And that's why I do what I do. I want to make sure people actually have the facts. So allow me to try to lay this out. I know you've been following it, but I'm sure you're confused. I mean, that's an advantage to the left that you be confused. And as God can help me this morning to sort this out, I'm going to try to do that with you. Let me just say that what happened was, of course, that the president of the United States, Donald Trump, when he was elected, you may remember that he had private conversations with foreign leaders. That's normal. A new president comes in and he wants to get acquainted. So he makes calls to the heads of state in Mexico and Australia. And both of those are classified because when the president has a call with someone who's another foreign leader, it's not for you and me to listen in. But of course, what happened right away, but those things were leaked to the news media, those calls, and the president was mocked and every word that he said was analyzed and criticized. And we knew at the time that was illegal, but that's how deep the resistance to President Trump was. All over the White House, still there, by the way. Not as bad, but still there, as is evidenced by what's happening right now. And those calls were intercepted and leaked. The transcripts were taken, and the press went wild. And it was pretty upsetting, and no one ever came to the bottom of. We never did find out. Who did that? Who did that? So it's never happened before. We've always instinctively known our presidents should have the right and the privacy to have conversations. Their calls are top secret. Well, so now it's happened again, and this was a conversation on July the 25th with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. The protocol is that it's transcribed by the White House staff. So there's not a recording of the call. It was a transcription. Of course, the left is using that to say it's not complete. Whatever you saw, whatever the president released, that's not complete. There was more to it. But of course, that's just very flimsy. And I'm going to give you the reasons for that in a few minutes. And so, what we think is that somebody who had access to that phone call on the National Security Council disagreed with President's approach to Ukraine policy and to what he said and now leaked it. And just to go back with Joe Biden, who was vice president under Barack Obama, remember he was given wide latitude by former President Barack Obama to run Ukraine policy after Viktor Yanukovych was overthrown, which was a coup the U.S. cooperated in. The prosecutor was fired, Viktor Shokin. And at the time, he said he was investigating a natural gas firm, which was called Burisma Holdings. And Hunter Biden, who was outed from the military for being a drug addict, who had no experience with energy, not meaning big energy, I'll call it that, the complexities of the energy industry, suddenly is on the board. Now, remember, Joe Biden is in charge of our policy with Ukraine, and his son, Hunter, travels on Air Force Two with him and ends up being on the board of directors for Burisma, even though he knows nothing about energy. That's not his expertise. I guess we'll find out more about what his expertise was. I think it was drugs. I think Hunter Biden has a lot of serious problems. But he was not qualified, but he got the job. He was paid $50,000 a month, and he got, I believe, $1 billion for his own company from Ukraine. He repeated the same in China, but that's not part of the discussion yet, but it will be. So Hunter Biden got very rich. He flew on Air Force Two and made the connections. His dad was in charge of Ukrainian policy, but of course, no connection, right? That's what they want us to believe. But of course, Shokin then started investigating corruption in this energy company in Ukraine. And Joe Biden, as you know, because we played the tape for you, bragged to the Council on Foreign Policy. He said, I said, you're not getting the billion. I'm going to be leaving in, I think it's about 6 hours. I looked at them and I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor is not fired, you're not getting that money. Well, blank of a blank, he got fired. And they put in place someone who was solid at the time. All right, now that is on tape. That's Joe Biden claiming very openly that he personally withheld U.S. aid to Ukraine because he wanted them to hire the prosecutor who just happened to be investigating Burisma, where his son Hunter just happened to be on the board and also getting $50,000 a month in payment, plus $1 billion to his whatever financial entity he's part of. So then what happened was that this call was leaked to the press again. And before the call was even made public by the president, they were telling us that the president had committed treason because he had tried to get the Ukrainian president to find dirt on his 2020 opponent, Joe Biden. That's how the story was characterized. And you will recall that Nancy Pelosi came out and said, we're going to start an inquiry on impeachment. She had not seen the phone, heard the phone call, seen the transcript, but we just know because there's a whistleblower. And this whistleblower is saying that the president tried to withhold, tried to threaten the new president of Ukraine that if he did not cooperate with this investigation, he would withhold money. In fact, Adam Schiff went on the House floor and characterized this phone call. I'm not sure if this is before the transcript was released. I'm really not sure. But this is Adam Schiff's version of what the president said in this phone call. Let's listen. Clip one.
And so what happened on that call? Zelensky begins by ingratiating himself, and he tries to enlist the support of the president. He expresses his interest in meeting with the president and says his country wants to acquire more weapons from us to defend itself. And what is the president's response? Well, it reads like a classic organized crime shakedown. Shorn of its rambling character and in not so many words, this is the essence of what the president communicates. We've been very good to your country, very good. No other country has done as much as we have. But you know what? I don't see much reciprocity here. I hear what you want. I have a favor I want from you, though. And I'm going to say this only 7 times, so you better listen good. I want you to make up dirt on my political opponent, understand lots of it. On this and on that, I'm going to put you in touch with people, not just any people. I'm going to put you in touch with Attorney General of the United States, my Attorney General, Bill Barr. He's got the whole weight of the American law enforcement behind him. And I'm going to put you in touch with Rudy. You're going to love him, trust me. You know what I'm asking, and so I'm only going to say this a few more times, in a few more ways. And by the way, don't call me again. I'll call you when you've done what I asked. This is, in sum, in character, what the president was trying to communicate with the president of Ukraine. It would be funny if it wasn't such a graphic betrayal of the president's oath of office. But as it does represent a real betrayal, there's nothing the president says here that is in America's interest, after all. It is instead the most consequential form of tragedy. For it forces us to confront the remedy the founders provided for such a flagrant abuse of office, impeachment.
All right, so Adam Schiff goes on the in this hearing and opens the hearing up by reading what he just read, which has no relationship with what the president actually said. Congressman Mike Turner was sitting right there, and this is what he said.
What else it's not? It's not the conversation that was in the chairman's opening statement. While the chairman was speaking, I actually had someone text me, is he just making this up? And yes, he was. Because sometimes fiction is better than the actual words or the text. But luckily, the American public are smart, and they have the transcript. They've read the conversation. They know when someone's just making it up.
Yeah, well, so it's unbelievable. And so the House Freedom Caucus is moving to censure Adam Schiff. They've actually written out the request because, and they're asking him to be removed from chairmanship of the committee because of his breach of trust. They say he's making a laughing stock of an impeachment inquiry and because he lied and then called it parody. That's what he called it later. Oh, it was just a parody. Oh, yes, just a parody. Entered into the record as though it were true. While thousands and thousands of Americans listened, believing that President Trump actually said what Adam Schiff parodied that he said. I'm going to come back in a second. I'm going to read a few portions of this phone call just in case you have not read it yourself. We'll put it on our Facebook page so that you can read it for yourself because I can't read all of it. But I want you to see what the president actually said. And then there's so much more to say about this, and I'm going to say it. Sandy Rios in a minute on AFR Talk.
8 Days of Hope continues to be the hands and feet of Jesus. The ministry is in need of volunteers as they turn their attention to Beaumont, Texas. Visit 8daysofhope.com to learn how you can help. Here's 8 Days of Hope President Steve Tiber.
We're looking for people who just want to serve others. You know, you don't have to be super gifted. Every disaster gives an opportunity for a believer to share a glimpse of Jesus Christ. On a moment's notice, your life can change, and you don't know what to do, and all of a sudden you get a knock on your door, and there's a dozen volunteers that have come from all over the country, and homeowners usually, they just start to weep. They're so blown away that volunteers they don't even know would come to their house to help them. That's the hands and feet of Jesus Christ.
Volunteers must be 18 years or older. Food and lodging are provided. Be a part of helping flood victims in Beaumont, Texas. Learn more or sign up at 8daysofhope.com.
This is Pause to Pray, a moment each day to pray for our country's leaders.
Today we pray for Sam Schellenberger, Deputy Assistant Secretary for Operations and Management at the Department of Labor. Mr. Schellenberger leads more than 200 employees who provide employment services for our country's veterans. Philippians 2:3 reminds us of the importance of true leadership skills. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask for guidance for Sam Schellenberger as he leads the men and women of his department. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
New York City schools want to scrap the gifted program. The reason why, next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Caitlin Bird. I'm a nursing major and I'm a junior. The School of Nursing here at TMU, it's different than any other, you know, university or college out there. Every time we come into class, no matter which nursing professor it is, we always begin in devotion and prayer, and we become a family. They actually allow the students to get up and do devotion and prayer. We pray with each other and for each other, and that's just what sets us apart from any other school of nursing out there.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
New York City is on the verge of eliminating all gifted and talented programs, not because they don't work, but because there's not enough minority representation. Black and Hispanics represent about 70% of the students in the school system, but only account for 25% of the students admitted to the gifted programs. The school district says there is a disproportionate number of whites and Asians in the gifted programs. In other words, kids are about to be yanked out of their classes simply because of the color of their skin. This is a classic case of participation trophy syndrome. Everybody's a winner. But the truth is, when everybody's a winner, the country loses. Our public schools must stop teaching to the lowest denominator and push students to be the best they can be, regardless of skin color. Otherwise, we just become a nation of mediocrity. I'm Todd Stearns.
That's your Fox News commentary.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
You have been criticized by the president and others for comments you made in your opening statement at the hearing on Thursday. I want to show a bit of it right here.
I'm going to say this only 7 times, so you better listen good. I want you to make up dirt on my political opponent, understand lots of it. This is, in sum and character, what the president was trying to communicate.
That was making up dialogue, putting it in the president's mouth. If the facts are as damning as you say, why make up dialogue for dramatic effect, even if it's a parody, as you say?
Well, George, you're right. The call speaks for itself, and it is plenty damning. But let's not pretend that this is really what the president is upset with me about. I can tell you exactly why the president is furious with me. And that is because when I learned that a whistleblower had filed a credible and urgent complaint that was being withheld from Congress, and no one in the country knew about this yet, I went public to demand that we get that complaint. I scheduled a hearing with the acting director to force the director to come in, as I said at the time, to explain to the American people why he was the first director to withhold a complaint from Congress. That had the effect of forcing the White House to produce that complaint, which I then made public. That also had the effect of forcing them to release that call record. That's what the president is furious with me about.
Yeah, not about lying, Adam, and not about, you know, claiming all kinds of things. This past, 2 years of the Russian collusion story, almost three, you are a liar. That's what the president's upset about, and you've lied about him, and you've caused tremendous turmoil in this country. That's what we're upset about. Now, let me just talk about this whistleblower. I've heard speculation about his name, but allegedly what you're led to believe now is that this poor guy came forward, he heard this call, and he knew the president had committed treason, was trying to threaten a foreign power by withholding aid if he didn't give dirt on his campaign rival, Joe Biden. Okay, so now here's the thing. And Fox repeats this, too. In fact, Mark Levin got into a fight with Ed Henry over this, and I agree with Mark. When they use the words, find dirt on his opponent, that there's no equivocation there. The point is, Joe Biden publicly said he was withholding aid from Ukraine until they fired this prosecutor who was investigating Burisma, the firm which Hunter Biden served as a director, who was making $50,000 a month, plus getting, I think, $1 billion from the company for his financial entity. Joe Biden himself said publicly, laughed about it, about how he threatened them and how they, and blank of a blank, they fired him. That's what he said. Everybody can hear that. I'd be happy to play it again for you if you don't believe it. So this is not dirt. Digging up dirt is going to the Russians or the Ukrainians and trying to find some sexual misdeed. Has he ever done anything? Did he ever say, well, let's find some dirt. What happened? That's what they did with President Trump. No, this is a specific thing. This is on record. There are verifications. We're going to hear a whole lot more about this. This is an ongoing investigation of something legitimately, potentially corrupt. Certainly sounds corrupted as on its face. So it's not like just hunting, fishing around for, do you have anything on Joe Biden? Do you know, is there anything on the outside chance? I want to tell you what's happening here. Let me just give you the big picture, and then I'm going to go into at least some of the details. I don't want to bog you down with details because I want you to understand the full picture here. What's happening? I found myself wondering, you know, why suddenly, before Nancy Pelosi even saw the transcript of this phone call, why would she suddenly change her mind and make an announcement, last Tuesday night, that she was going to start an official impeachment inquiry? Why would the Democrats suddenly go full steam? I understand this. Now, I mentioned it to you last week, but I'm going to sit on this for a second. It's because Ukraine is the center of how the Russian collusion story started. We have an idea how this happened, but we don't have the full picture. And let me just also say the whistleblower, this alleged poor guy who heard about this call in an effort to save the nation, he's a CIA operative who worked at the White House. By the way, we are pretty sure he was brought in by H.R. McMaster. And you may remember that I almost daily lambasted H.R. McMaster because he undermined the president at every turn. He was the first head of the National Security, the NSC, and I have no idea how he got there. Well, after Michael Flynn was fired. That's a whole other story, isn't it? Here came H.R. McMaster to save the day, only what the saving the day was to undermine the president. And H.R. McMaster fired all of these great people who were on the National Security Committee, purged it, and added his own folk. And one of them was, as I understand it, the CIA whistleblower who's just so courageous that now we're not allowed to know who he is. President isn't allowed to know who he is, and we're led to believe that his life is in danger because, you know. So anyway, but that's just a little bit about the whistleblower. I actually think some people that I know who he is. So we'll see how that pans out. But I want to offer to you an article that fleshes out the whole notion of the reason why the Democrats suddenly got concerned. Initially, I thought it was to save Joe Biden, and I do think that's part of it. I also think that a lot of Democrats, and probably Republicans too, have made a habit of enriching themselves through their relations, their political arrangements, and political positions with foreign powers. And they've made out like a bandit and enriched themselves, and that probably includes a ton of people, especially in the Senate. And I think the Democrats, when this thing about Joe Biden started to crop up and the truth, you know, the onions peeled back, They are scared. They're not just protecting Joe. I don't know that they're so concerned that Joe Biden not be the candidate. They are protecting many of their other friends. You know, John Kerry's son-in-law is part of this with Joe Biden, Hunter Biden. He's involved in Hunter Biden's investment company. And so was the nephew of Whitey Bulger, the Boston Mafia chief. It's just so odd things involved in this. I think the frantic attempt now to impeach the president is because they are scared to death that their corruption is going to be exposed. And they have to stop it. But it's not just that. It is not just that. And I'm going to use the president's words in this phone call that I'm going to read to you a little bit to explain this next part, what really I think is scaring them. So the president of Ukraine is Zelensky. And our president says to him after they open with their niceties, "I would like you to do us a favor, though, because our country has been through a lot and Ukraine knows a lot about it. I would like you to find out what happened with this whole situation with Ukraine. They say CrowdStrike. I guess you have one of your wealthy people, the server. They say Ukraine has it. There are a lot of things that went on, the whole situation. I think you're surrounding yourself with some of the same people. I would like to have the Attorney General call you or your people, and I would like you to get to the bottom of it. As you saw yesterday, that whole nonsense ended with a very poor performance by a man named Robert Mueller, an incompetent performance. But they say a lot of it started with Ukraine. Whatever you can do, it's very important that you do it if that's possible." Could I underscore? What did the president say? Whatever you can do, it's very important that you do it if that's possible. If that's possible, not or else, or I'll withhold aid, or... Now, Joe Biden very bluntly said, and I told those blanks I wouldn't, they'll get no aid if they don't fire that. He was not so, you know, not so, it's very clear that it was quid pro quo, which is arguably, let's just say, unethical, or it might be illegal. I'm not sure, but he was vice president at the time. Our president says, our current president said, it's very important that you do it if that's possible, if that's possible. All right, so the one thing the media doesn't want to talk about is CrowdStrike. Well, why does the president mention that, and what's that got to do with this? Everybody's making this about Joe Biden's son, but honestly, the most important offense to the left in this call, the thing that's caused them to go into a mad frenzy out of their minds is CrowdStrike. Why? Because CrowdStrike, let me give you some more information. I told you last week, but this is better information. This is written by Julie Kelly. "Since the media won't mention CrowdStrike, here's my backgrounder on the private firm Trump mentioned in his call to Zelensky. CrowdStrike is a DIM-connected company that is the only source of the Russia-hacked DNC server claim." I'm going to bottom line this. When the DNC server was hacked in the lead-up to the 2016 election, the FBI was going to go into the server, well, at least allegedly, that would be their role, to go in and look at the server and find out who hacked this. How did someone get all of these email from John Podesta and others? Who did that? But guess what? The DNC would not allow the FBI to do that. So instead, the DNC turned to Perkins Coie. Now, that's a law firm. And if remember, Perkins Coie was the law firm that actually hired Fusion GPS to gather the Russian dossier on President Trump. Okay, so the law firm Perkins Coie was hired by the DNC, and Perkins Coie then in turn hired CrowdStrike on behalf of the DNC to examine their server. And FBI, you can't come in here, but CrowdStrike, we choose them. They'll come in. And CrowdStrike is the one that did the quote-unquote investigation, and CrowdStrike is the one, it's the only entity, because they're the only ones that ever looked at it, that said to all of us, declared to the people of this country that it was the Russians who hacked the DNC server. The FBI never looked at it. CrowdSource did, and CrowdSource was hired by Perkins Coie. Now, who is CrowdSource? Well, its co-founder is associated with, guess who, the Clinton Foundation. By the way, CrowdStrike received $100 million in funding from Google, whose chairman was a supporter of Mrs. Clinton. CrowdStrike's president headed FBI's cyber crimes division during the Obama administration when Robert Mueller was director. So this is CrowdStrike. But it goes on. In early 2016, as Comey's FBI began targeting the Trump campaign, CrowdStrike was organizing cyber war games with top DOJ officials. This is under the Obama administration. And the top DOJ officials, including a guy named John Carlin, who facilitated the FISA warrant on Carter Page. The FISA warrant was based on lies, that phony dossier. Carlin also received updates from guess who? Andrew McCabe on the Trump-Russia collusion probe. And who else was working for Carlin? The current inspector general for the intelligence community, the guy handling the Ukraine whistleblower complaint. So in other words, the inspector general, I told you there's still some really bad characters in there. The deep state is everywhere in D.C. So the inspector general who found this whistleblower complaint credible was the guy that was working with Carlin, who initiated the warrant for Carter Page based on the phony dossier. It's just like, you need a flowchart. So CrowdStrike then, the president is saying in the call, he believes is now the server is still in Ukraine and has Ukrainian connections. We believe, and now we know that the investigator that the attorney general has appointed, the guy who's kind of quiet, we don't hear much about him, is in Ukraine. At least his investigation is centering on Ukraine. And that's part of what's scaring them to death. You see, this phone call tipped the hand, unfortunately, some whistleblower who, by the way, had no firsthand knowledge of this. The whistleblower statute says, or the regulations say that the whistleblower must have firsthand knowledge. But this whistleblower doesn't. He says he may have heard somebody in the lunchroom say something about this. And in the complaint that the whistleblower writes, he cites news sources like the New York Times, the Washington Post, as his information. It is absolutely unbelievable. So I was reading you, let's see, here's what the president says on this phone call to the president of Ukraine. There's a lot of talk about Biden's son, that Biden stopped the prosecution, and a lot of people want to find out about that. So whatever you can do with the attorney general would be great. Biden went around bragging that he stopped the prosecution, so if you can look into it, it sounds horrible to me. Let me go back, underscore a couple of things. There's a lot of talk about Biden's son. And then he says, whatever you can do would be great. Does that sound like a threat to you? Whatever you can do. And then in the other part, he said, if it's possible, if that's possible. But of course, they're characterizing it as a mob. This is like a mob boss threatening the president. The president, Zelensky, has said publicly since then, I felt no pressure. I wasn't pressured. We had a very good conversation. So what's happening here, honestly, is that the left is scared to death. I think it's John Huber. He's the other prosecutor. He's going to find out exactly what happened. And that's the point. It really isn't Hunter Biden, although that's an interesting part of the story. And certainly, we need to know if our U.S. senators and vice presidents and other people who serve at the behest of the American people are enriching themselves by using their connections with foreign governments to extort or hire their children, it's not illegal to hire your children. It's illegal to make money that you wouldn't normally make, to be paid like $1 billion if you're a kid who's been, discharged from the military because you're a drug addict. There's corruption, just to make that distinction. The New York Sun has a great editorial called "Who is the Whistleblower?" The question that jumps out of the House intelligence hearing is, who is the whistleblower? It's incredible, at least to us, that the vast machinery of the House and the Democratic Party is being cranked up to impeach a president based on an allegation from an individual who's anonymous. It seems that no one involved knows his name. And then it goes on to talk about how important that we know the accuser and can talk about his motives and what he's doing. We'll put that also on our Facebook page. Who is the whistleblower? All right, there's more. Mark Levin was on fire yesterday, and you have to hear the interaction. Sandy Rios in the morning, AFR Talk.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. The American Republic was founded on the principle that rights are given to us by God, not men. As a result, men nor government can take them away. That's why our Declaration of Independence refers to our rights as inalienable rights. Government's role, then, is to protect the rights that God has given to us. The first freedom listed in the Bill of Rights, which government is entrusted to protect, is religious liberty. The founders did this because they knew that free exercise of religion is the fulcrum for all liberty. Wherever the flame of religious liberty is extinguished, all liberty is imperiled.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Hi, this is Pastor Robert Morris. I'm often asked, how do I grow in my relationship with the Lord? How do I hear God? What is God's plan and purpose for me? I want to personally invite you to join me on Sunday mornings right here on AFR for worship and the Word. And we will discover the answer to these questions together. We'll explore the truths found in God's Word that will help you strengthen your faith and develop a more intimate relationship with Him.
American Family Radio wants to share some Bible study time with you.
Luke, if he was writing a dissertation, he writes out his purpose statement in the beginning.
Exploring the Words, Bert Harper and Dr. Alex McFarland bring you daily scripture lessons, along with answers to your Bible questions.
That if the Holy Spirit of God has been gracious enough to alert you to your standing before God, it behooves us to act on it.
Listen to Exploring the Word, weekdays at 3 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. The scripture refers a number of times to the abomination of desolation. It originally referred to the time when Antiochus Epiphanes desecrated the Holy of Holies by erecting an altar to Zeus and sacrificing a pig on it. Jesus said the return of the abomination of desolation would be a signal of his second coming. Well, the abomination of desolation has returned, showing up in a Presbyterian church. The United Presbyterian Church of Binghamton, New York, a PCUSA church, has put a 15-foot-tall idol of a medieval pagan deity on display in its sanctuary right where the communion table normally stands. The deity, Svetovid, is an ancient Slavic god of war and fertility. It is an abomination that causes desolation, and that certainly will be the fate of this Presbyterian church unless it repents in a hurry.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. President Trump reportedly has under consideration deploying a powerful new weapon against communist Chinese aggression that is now becoming evident in virtually every conceivable domain. It would involve ending China's ability to use Americans' pension funds and other investments to underwrite the threats the PRC poses to us. What a concept. By deregistering companies linked to the Chinese Communist Party, and let's face it, they pretty much all are, we can stop them from raising mega billions on our capital markets. As a result, U.S. investors would no longer enable, for example, Chinese corporations that are building Beijing's police state apparatus, its man-made and fortified South China Sea islands, and its next generation of naval combatants. Wall Street is furiously lobbying to let it keep funding our enemy. One of its alumni, Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin, is too. Just say no, Mr. President. This is Frank Affney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Getting to the bottom of a corruption scandal in Ukraine is in the American national interest. And if you want to understand why that complainant is so obviously politically biased, when he says that the president is threatening national security by trying to expose corruption, when he says, or she, that the president is hurting national security by trying to get to the bottom of a gigantic scandal that nobody has unearthed, the president is the whistleblower here. The president of the United States is the whistleblower. And this individual is a saboteur trying to undermine a democratically elected government. The president correctly pointed out that the behavior of this individual is close to a spy. I don't know who the individual is. All I know is at some point, Chris, we have to focus on the real scandal, which is 3 years of deep state sabotage.
Okay, I'm gonna...
President with Chris Wallace on Sunday. And Stephen, of course, is right. And the whistleblower, my understanding is, and I have the whole report, but I wasn't able to read it before I came on with you. I think it's like 7 pages from the whistleblower. And the analysis from people that I trust is that the whistleblower complaint had to have been coordinated with members of the House committee, with Adam Schiff and his crew, and also with the lawyers and political types, and that they knew about this letter. They helped him craft it, that this is all part of a plan, because this was, you know, teeing up to impeachment. And I believe that's true. I'll read it, and I'll tell you more about it tomorrow. Let me just tell you, I'll tell you what the polls say. You know probably more about how Americans feel about this than the polls, but there was a poll that was taken in the midst of this, just probably the end of last week. It was the Quinnipiac University poll released, it was Wednesday, shows that the majority of Americans do not think President Donald Trump should be impeached. And the numbers were 37% of respondents think the president should be impeached and removed, 57% do not. Now, that's a pretty interesting poll, isn't it? And, of course, it goes on to say that it comports to a Monmouth poll of the same, which showed just last month that 59% of respondents were opposed to the impeachment and removal of the president. But now here comes a new poll out just, what day is today? It came out yesterday. And this one now is from CBS and YouGov. And this poll, of course, shows that the president, that Americans support the announcement, 55% to 45%. Wow, that's different, isn't it? 57 didn't approve, 59% a month ago, and now they say that 55% approve and 45% are against. So now here's the thing. You know, because you can't trust anybody with anything. Suddenly this poll by CBS and YouGov comes out and says that most Americans want that. We know that polls are used to shape American opinion. I would guess... Well, maybe, I mean, I can't be unbiased about this. I honestly, I have to say, I cannot be, but I just can't imagine that this Quinnipiac poll is that. Quinnipiac is not exactly a conservative poll. I can't imagine that they were so far off base. I don't trust CBS and YouGov, but that's what they're going to be telling you, that most Americans approve. You're going to be, I've already heard it this morning on Fox. Mark Levin was on fire. He was talking with the Fox team. Ed Henry was one of them. Yesterday. And Mark, of course, has tremendous insight. He's angry, and he should be, and so should you. You should be angry, and I am angry also. I'll let Mark explain why. He's talking about the whistleblower. Here it is.
I'm an American citizen. If this CIA operative is going to be the guy that brings down my president, I want to know all about him. I want to know what kind of dogs they have, how many marriages they've had, if they have a DUI. I want to know if they're a partisan. I want to know everything, like they do with everybody else, the media. I want to know, this guy should be cross-examined. What kind of a situation is this? We're going to bring down a president of the United States, and the Democrats are telling us we can't identify this guy because his life might be in danger? And then everybody swings around his memo like it's the Bible. I have a lot of questions about his memo. I don't need press people interpreting it for me. I can read it myself. I want to question this person about his memo. And as you've been told, everybody, now for the last 2 days, why is it that the CIA changed its whistleblower policy in August when this letter is dated August 12th? Under the former policy before August, under the former policy, he's not a whistleblower. This isn't a whistleblower complaint, and nothing sent to the United States Congress. How did that happen like this? It's not illegal. The question is whether Biden did something illegal. The president didn't do anything illegal. You know how I know? Because Nancy Pelosi's been on every TV show, and she can't cite one section of the United States Code where it's illegal. My question is, why is Joe Biden above the law? Why is his son above the law? Where is Hunter Biden today? Where is the media? Don't they want to know? Don't they want to know if the leading contender for the Democrat nomination is a crook? And if his son is a crook? Let me tell you about our president. We've had a special counsel with 2,800 subpoenas and 500 search warrants and 500 witnesses and had 13 requests to foreign governments for evidence by Mueller. We've had 4 Democrat senators. 3 wrote a letter to Ukraine and said, you better help Mueller investigate Trump. One pressured them the other week and said, you better not investigate Biden. We know that. What do we know about Joe Biden and Hunter Biden? Zero. Why is the president having to raise the issue? And by the way, he didn't raise it the way you said it. He said this has been raised. It was raised in the New York Times. It's been raised by Peter Schweizer and so forth. And nobody wants to look into it.
So Marka actually got into it with Ed because he said, Ed was using the same language. The president was asking the Ukrainian president to find dirt on Joe Biden, his political appointment. And Marka's taking issue with that, and I do too. I do. I love Ed. So it's not about Ed. He's just picking up on the language of the press and the language of the left. This is we're looking at a legitimate concern about how a vice president could have publicly declared that he withheld American aid from a Ukrainian government unless they fired the prosecutor that was investigating his son. Now, he didn't say he's investigating my son, but he was. In fact, as I understand it, Hunter Biden was going to be interviewed by that prosecutor the very next day after Joe made that threat. So there's a lot of rotten stuff in Denmark. That is a legitimate inquiry. It's not see if you can find something, anything really salacious or bad about Joe Biden. That's looking for dirt. And so we need to make that distinction. And Mark mentions very quickly, but I want to underscore, we know now that the regulations and the form that's used by a whistleblower in various departments was altered to say that the whistleblower does not now have to have firsthand knowledge of what they're reporting. It can be hearsay. It's never been hearsay before, ever, ever. It's always been you saw something, you were involved, you were asked to do something that hurt your conscience, you felt was wrong, and you come forward. Now they've changed the form to say, well, you can repeat what someone else told you or you heard through the grapevine. You can do that. And it was changed like 5 days before this whistleblower filed the complaint. It's never happened before. Our government does not run, and we don't take witnesses in court that say, well, I heard somebody say, my neighbor who talked to my neighbor said this. And that's the basis of this whistleblower complaint. It is really, really shocking. But then, aren't we getting to the point where we're not shocked anymore? Mark goes on to talk to the Fox folks. He's talking again about the whistleblower. Let's listen.
Let me tell you what the press has done. They lied about a quid pro quo. They lied about the president raising this 8 times. They've lied about the president asking for a favor, trying to tie it to Joe Biden when he was talking about the 2016 election. The American people detest the media, not because they oppose freedom of the press, because they love freedom of the press. The media have taken sides here. And what I'm saying is this is an utterly corrupt, political, partisan process. And it's about time we had some real reporters who would try to get to the bottom of this. They have issued hundreds of subpoenas. The media doesn't count them. About his family, about his businesses, about his bank accounts. They took the Mueller report and they turned it on its head and said, look at all these examples of obstruction. And it goes on and on. What they're going to do is overwhelm the American people with what is a document for the media, because they know reporters are going to do whatever they want them to do. The reporters aren't serious. There's going to be a huge backlash in this country one way or another. You can't disenfranchise 63 million people who are onto this, who have alternative forms of information. Real cover-up here. Gee, we have the letter and we have the transcript. And all I get are reporters trying to tell me what the transcript says as opposed to what I read with my own eyes and telling me it's the offense of the century that the President of the United States dares to mention something that's in the American newspapers to the Ukrainian president. He doesn't say, get Biden. He doesn't say, I'm digging up dirt on Biden. He doesn't say, do me a favor and get Biden. He says, why don't you talk to my attorney general, look into this? People have questions. Wow. And all the sleazy activity that's going on behind the scenes. I want to know if Adam Schiff and his staff have been working with this phony whistleblower. I want to know who the lawyers are who helped him write that complaint, as I was the first to point out before. I want to know the whole activity that's taking place in the shadows of this government to try and bring down a president of the United States. Things being done to this president that have never been done to prior presidents.
All right, that's Mark Levin, and I'm totally with him. By the way, there is a lot of evidence about the Biden part of this, a ton of evidence. And so one of the people working on this is John Solomon, who works now for The Hill. Actually, John is, I think he broke off and formed his own entity, but this is published in The Hill. And this is the title of his piece. It's These Once secret memos cast doubt on Joe Biden's Ukraine story. I don't have time to go into this, but we'll put this on our Facebook page because I want you to just know that there's tons of information and writing. Rudy Giuliani, of course, has been talking about that since last Sunday. I heard him talk about this on the Sunday shows. But now, listen to this. This is what's also happened in the last 24 hours. The Biden campaign is now demanding that news channels stop booking Rudy Giuliani. They sent out a memo to top executives saying that the networks are giving the lawyer and his false they're calling Rudy's comments false debunked conspiracy theories, undeserving of credibility. While you often fact-checked his statements in real time during your discussions, that's no longer enough. By giving him your airtime, you are allowing him to introduce increasingly unhinged, unfounded, and desperate lies into the national conversation. Could I just interject? Rudy Giuliani is well known to the American people. He's well known to New Yorkers, I'll tell you that, and he's loved by them. And he's not known for being a dishonest person. He's known for being a straight shooter. They're going to have to rewrite history if they're going to cast Rudy Giuliani as a liar. But that's what they're trying to do, and they're trying to get these NBC, CBS, CNN, CNN, NBC, even Chris Wallace of Fox to stop covering Rudy Giuliani. And guess who's doing that? The Biden advisors are Anita Dunn and Kate Beglingfield. Now, if that name rings a bell, Anita Dunn rings a bell to me. I'll tell you why. Anita Dunn was the Obama staffer who was very happy and proud to put a Mao Zedong Christmas ornament on the White House Christmas tree. And she said that he was her favorite philosopher. I think that's what she said. So this is Anita Dunn. But they're Biden advisors now, and they're the ones insisting that Giuliani is a liar and that these networks should ban him from interviews. And because he knows too much, that's why. And see, that's why they're all, you know, circling the wagons. They're trying to shut this down because they are scared to death that you and I are going to find out what more they did when they were trying to bring down the president. All right, so the other thing that this whistleblower did, we believe with the help of Adam Schiff and the committee and others, is that he named Attorney General Bill Barr in his complaint. And he said that he was involved in the Ukraine, Bill Barr, was involved in the Ukraine quid pro quo that they're accusing the president of. In other words, the quid pro quo means that they have to find what they're saying is the president was trying to force them to look for dirt on Joe Biden, his political opponent. And if they didn't do it, he was going to withhold aid. That's what they're saying the president did. You read the transcript, that's not what the president did. But now they're implicating Bill Barr in that, saying that he was part of that too. And so an observer in the legal field made this statement off the record. This has all the hallmarks of a political hit aimed at the Russian hoax origin investigations. Watch for demands of recusal next. This person believes, and probably rightfully so, that the reason Bill Barr was added into that whistleblower statement or complaint was so that Bill Barr would have to recuse himself because they're all over it. John Huber's all over it. Bill Barr's all over it. Rudy Giuliani's all over it. And they want to stop this at any cost. Nancy Pelosi said yesterday she's willing to give up the House in order to impeach the president. Listen, I believe the president is in real danger here, not because there's truth, but because opening this inquiry just gives oxygen to all of the demons who now are, you know, gladly inhaling it and putting new wind back into what they were trying to do, and that's destroy President Donald Trump and the rest of us who voted for him and his policies. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.